13, and in Psalm 113, we will consider this truth, that praise is for the Lord. And I want to quickly share with you two reasons tonight why we should praise the Lord. We'll read the entire psalm, and where it's not Psalm 119, so it won't take too long. Psalm 113, begin verse 1, it says, "Praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens. Who is like unto the Lord our God, who dwelleth on high, who humbleth himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth? He raiseth up the poor out of the dust, and lifteth the needy out of the dunghill, that he may set him with princes, even with the princes of his people. He maketh the barren woman to keep house, and to be a joyful mother of children. Praise ye the Lord." First of all, tonight I want us to consider that we should praise the Lord, for he is above all. He is above all. In verse 6, we see that he is great in person. It says, who humbleth himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth. God is so great that in order just to see what it is, to behold what's in heaven and to behold what is in earth, it says he has to humble himself. He has to stoop down. That's how big our God is. That's how great our God is. He is great in person, but he's also great in power. Let's skip over to Psalm 147. We'll see that we ought to praise the Lord because he is above all. The idea is that he is great and greatly to be praised. He is great in person. And in Psalm 146, beginning in verse 5, we see that he is great in power. It says, "Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. It has no limitations to it. The Lord lifteth up the meek. He casteth the wicked down to the ground. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise upon the harp unto our God, who covereth," listen to this, this is how great our God is, "who covereth the heaven with clouds, who prepareth rain for the earth, who maketh grass to grow upon the mountains. He giveth to the beasts his food, and to the young ravens which cry." The Lord is great in power. He sustains all of his creation. All of his creation he sustains. And he does it with his word. We see the power of we see the greatness of his power in creation. Back in Genesis chapter 1, all God had to do to create everything that we see on earth and see in the heavens, all he had to do was speak. That is how great our God is in power. He is great in knowledge. His understanding is infinite and has no limitations to it. We saw that back in verse 5. And then back in Psalm 111 and verse 9, we see that he is holy and his name is reverend. Psalm 111 and 9, it says, "He sent redemption upon his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name." Of course, we understand that the word holy means to be set apart. There is no God like our God. He is holy. He is perfect in all his ways. And there is no God, little g God, that compares to the God of the Bible. Amen. He is great in person, in power, in knowledge, and he is holy. He's separate. He's set apart from anything and anyone else. And for this fact, and for this truth, he should be praised by his people, by his creation. But we also see back in Psalm 113, we also see that he should be praised not only because he is above all, but he humbles himself to all. I want you to consider this, because as I consider the greatness of God, the fact that he is above all, in comparison that he humbles himself to all, I hope God works in your heart and God sobers you and fills your heart with joy as he has the last 2 weeks in my heart. It says in verse 6 again, it says, who humbled himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in earth. And earlier I made reference to this as in reference to his greatness, which is true. That God is so great and God is so beyond us that he has to look down and stoop himself down to behold what is in heaven and in earth. And we haven't begun to know and find out all that is in heaven and all that is in the earth. Man has done a lot of research and come up with a lot of information and has learned a lot. But they haven't learned everything about heaven and earth. And God is so big and so great that he has to stoop himself. But I want you to consider this verse in a different light as well. I want you to understand it in this light, that God humbled himself to his creation. That he humbled himself. Because we see that in verse 4 that it says, the Lord is high above all nations and his glory above the heavens. And it says, who is like unto our God? But then after verse 6, the rest of the chapter talks about how God is involved in life of his people. So this great God, he has humbled himself. Not only is he so big that he has to stoop himself to behold all that he has made, but he is so good in that he beholds the needy. He is so compassionate that he humbled himself to his creation. And he should be praised because this great God, who is worthy of all praise, who is in heaven or on his throne, shouldn't have to stoop down to our level. The God who is high and lifted up, who is majestic and holy and perfect in all his ways, why would this great God humble himself to his creation? It is mind-boggling to consider, and it is worthy of his praise that such a great God would humble himself to his creation. And we see, as you read the Hallelujah Psalms, you realize what he's doing. He is coming to the aid of the needy, whether it's a physical need or a spiritual need, a redemptive need. He's coming to the aid of the needy. This great and holy and majestic God cares about us, and he humbles himself to his creation, and he beholds the needy. And the psalmist says, God is worthy of praise because he is great in who he is, but he also, that he has humbled himself to all of his creation. Immediately in my mind came a New Testament passage that reminds us yet again of this truth that God humbled himself, and that is in Philippians chapter 2. Not only has God humbled himself to creation, but also God is worthy of our praise because he has humbled himself to the cross. He humbled himself to the cross. And Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 6, it says, who, being in the form of God, referring to Christ, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. This is God. This is the great I am. He has made himself of no reputation. He has taken upon himself a form of a servant And he was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. God is worthy of our praise because though he is so great, he has chosen to humble himself to behold the needs of his creation and to deliver the guilty from their sin. And as you read the Hallelujah Psalms, you realize these two truths, that God is worthy of our praise because he is above all and he humbles himself to all. Back in Psalm 113, in conclusion, I want to make this practical, and I want to give us some practical truth and help to as we take these thoughts home with us for the week. In conclusion, I think verse 5 of Psalm 113 summarizes this truth of the praise of God so well. And it says this: who is like unto the Lord our God? Who is like our God? What God of other religions is like our God? What God is so great and so majestic and so holy and so perfect, yet he chooses to involve himself in his life, in the life of his people? And the psalmist is overwhelmed with praise, and he says, who is like, in his praise, he says, who is like unto the Lord our God? Who is like him? There is none. So we understand that God is worthy of our praise, and we looked at two reasons why. And what's our application? We ought to praise him. Amen. Nothing profound. I'm sorry if anyone was looking for anything really deep. It's not. As you read the Hallelujah Psalms, you learn this truth, that God is great, he is worthy of our praise, and we ought to praise him. Mm-hmm. We ought to praise him with our whole heart. Psalm 111 verse 1 says, praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. I will praise. It requires our whole heart. And the truth is, whatever we praise, whatever we truly, sincerely praise, what we truly are thankful for, whatever we truly appreciate, we give all our heart to. I've been to a sports game where my team has been behind, and they came to win, and my brother and I just went nuts. Not to be irreverent, but the word praise almost has that idea that you're so overwhelmed with joy and gladness that you have to burst out in praise. You have to do something. If you read Psalm 115, it lists a whole bunch of ways to praise the Lord with a whole bunch of different instruments. And in my mind, as I read that psalm, I think to myself, God is so worthy of our praise that you have to find a way to praise God. You know what? I'm not a singer. You won't see me up here doing a special. My wife won't let me come up to do a special. I don't sing well. But I remember when I was a teenager, I just loved the Lord so much, and I love music. I've always loved music, and I wanted to praise the Lord. I wanted to serve the Lord somehow with music. And I told one of our missionaries who grew up in the church that I grew up in, Michael DeLuca, and he grew up playing the guitar. He plays the guitar very well. He took lessons and everything, and he gave me one of his old guitars. And he said, the only stipulation is you need to use it for the Lord. I said, deal. I don't have it anymore. Don't tell him. But you know what? I couldn't sing, but God gave me a way to praise him. I wanted to praise him in the congregation. I wanted to praise him in my own way. And God gave me an instrument to do that. You may sing, you may play an instrument, or maybe you're just telling people of God's goodness, just proclaiming God's goodness, what God has done, how God has met the big needs in your life, the small needs in life, how God has answered the big prayer requests and the small requests in your life. But the truth is, we all ought to praise the Lord, and we should do it with our whole heart. We should do it joyfully. We should do it joyfully, because what does it say about our God if we praise him without joy? Oh, I praise the Lord for work. I can provide for my family. Does that bring God any glory? Does that bring God any praise from other people? We should praise the Lord with joy. In Psalm 149, verse 2 to 5, it says, "Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion, let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praise unto him with the timbrel and with the harp. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds." We should praise the Lord with joy. We should do it with all of our heart, joyfully, and we should do it every day. We should do it every day. Psalm 146, verse 1 and 2, it says, "Praise you, the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praise unto my God while I have my being." If God gives you a day, use that day to praise the Lord, because he is worthy of it. And in conclusion, turn to Psalm 148. We're going to read the entire psalm in conclusion. But finally, we should praise the Lord with our whole heart. We should do it with joy. We should do it every day with every breath that we have. And finally, if we don't do it, we're the outcast. If we don't praise the Lord, we're the outcast. Follow with me as I read Psalm 148, and that statement will make itself clear as we read. Beginning verse 1, it says, "Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise ye him, all his angels. Praise ye him, all his hosts. Praise ye him, sun and moon. Praise him, all ye stars of light. Praise him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created. He hath also established them forever and ever. He hath made a decree which shall not pass. Praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons and all depths, fire and hail, snow and vapor, windy winds, fulfilling his word. Mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowls, kings of the earth and all people, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven. He also exalteth the horn of his people, the praise of all his saints, even of the children of Israel, a people near unto him. Praise ye the Lord." All of God's creation is praising the Lord. But the sad reality is God's people, I fear, is lacking. It seems like we're the only part of his creation that is not getting this, that he is great and greatly to be praised. He is great in who he is, but he's great in the fact that he has humbled himself to our level to show us his love, his care, his compassion, his goodness to us, and how perfect and how wonderful it is. All of God's creation, when you look at the sky, when you look at the trees, when you look at the animals, all of God's creation. You look at the rocks. Look at the sand. Everything that God has made is praising him. It is declaring his glory. It's time for us as God's people to not follow the example of Israel, who forgot who God was, who forgot God's works, and became a complaining people. The truth is, I've been guilty of that. It's funny, the 2 weeks I've read this psalm, it's probably the one thing I've struggled with the most, is a complaining spirit. But God is worthy of our praise because of who he is, that he is above all his creation. He is great, and he has chosen to humble himself, and he cares about us. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for our time and your word. Time doesn't allow us, and I feel that I'm always inadequate to express the truth of your word in a way that is worthy of your name. I pray that the truth of Scripture tonight, the fact that of who you are and what you've done for us, will stir within us a genuine passion to praise you. Praise you through a life of obedience. Praise you in song. Praise you in testifying to the people around us of your goodness, of your faithfulness, of your presence in our lives. Not just that you are a great God and we can praise you and we can sit outside and look at the beauty of your creation and tell our family members and tell our neighbors and praise you for your greatness around them. But we can also tell people of how you are personally working in our lives. And we can praise you for your humility. It is sobering to think that you were willing to humble yourself. Literally, the word means to humiliate yourself, to stoop down to our level so that you can make yourself known to us and involve yourself in our life because you love us. You loved us so much that Christ was willing to humble himself and become obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. I pray that we would be people of praise and not people that complain. That we would keep our eyes on you, on who you are and what you're doing in our lives and not on our circumstances. And that while we have breath, while we have being, may our life be about praising and glorifying you, the great I am, who is greatly to praise and greatly cares about his people. And we pray all this in Christ's name. Amen.